Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Please let me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We know that 80 years ago, on this day, there was a huge explosion. We know that there were many people who died in as a result of the huge explosion, and many people were unfortunately involved in this. This was the Utsunomiya explosion I'm referring to, and there are still records of that today, and people can still see the various places that were bombed. War is not something that is just happened many years ago, but around the world today, there are many different conflicts going on. We need to remember to pray for people to come to know Christ and to be able to spread the gospel at this time. We know that Jesus will return and he will rule and reign and judge the world as well. We have a limited amount of time, so we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us how we use our time. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Hello, everyone. Today, once again, we'll be looking at a message from God from the book of Matthew. There was a few years ago when overseas there was a student who was put this part from his graduation album, and she posted this thing, and the question was, if you like water, then you would like about 70% of me. It was kind of a funny statement, 72%. Because, you know, she was just referring to how humans are made of 72% of water. Of course, adults are a little lower. Anyway, about 70% of our body is composed of water. And when you think of it, you can realize how important water is for us humans. And that's what can be said. Of course, in Japan now, it's very hot. So you really realize how important it is to have water. In Israel, and maybe some of you have been actually there before, but you have to walk over through a desert, likely if you go to visit, and you can really sense just how important water is, and you can really sense that when you're in that environment. In today's passage as well, it's referring to people going through a desert over a long period of time to reach a certain destination, and that are the Magi. And these Magi, who exactly were they? Well, in those days, they were likely going to they were actually people from Babylon or the Gentile area there, and they would have come to Jerusalem. They would have been foreigners. And to go from Jerusalem to Babylon, it would have been a certain amount of distance, do you know? it's said to be about 900 kilometers. And it's not possible to go directly through that passage because you'd have to go through a scorching desert. So you have to go this long route around, which would have been a distance of about 1,600 kilometers instead. Along the way, they would have had to have stayed overnight a couple of different places and probably spent about 2 months to be able to reach their destination. To go through a desert, they would have definitely experienced what it means to be thirsty. However, their main purpose of travel was not to satisfy the thirst in their throats, but rather the thirst in their hearts. It's likely that you have probably sensed this dryness in your heart before. I've had the opportunity to study the Bible with over 200 people so far. And then the text that we go over, we always come to this point where I always ask the same question. I always ask, have you ever experienced a time in your life when you have everything's kind of going good for you, but you still feel that like just something's missing or you're like lonely or something? Have you ever felt this? And every single person has always said yes. It's likely that you too, you've all sensed at some point that your heart is just dried up and thirsty at some point. Today, we're looking at what is necessary to satisfy this thirsty heart that everyone has. And today's topic is the Magi from the East and meeting Jesus Christ to satisfy thirst. We have three main points to realize what this would be. The first step to realize your thirst of your heart is to turn your eyes upward. Let's read the first and second passages verses again. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the East came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They came from Babylon, and they were people who were very experts in the field of stars. Some people may think that there was a total of three of them, and how you come to this conclusion is because three different gifts were given to Jesus from them. However, it's likely that it was actually a larger group of Magi that came. They would have had to gone through this desert, and it would have been possible just with three people. Also, they had very expensive gifts with them, and they could have been robbed, so it's likely they wouldn't have just gone with such things with just a few people. It could have been a couple of tens of people, or it could have even been over 100 that actually went to see Jesus. They went to Jerusalem, and it says, once again in verse 2, that we saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. So they were always looking up at the stars, and then they noticed that there was one different star all of a sudden. They started to look through literature to find out about this and found out in the Old Testament that it was prophesied that there would be a specific star coming when the Messiah was born. And they knew that this prophecy was referenced in Numbers 24, where it states, and this would have been actually over 1,000 years ago, prior that it was prophesied. Let me read just a little bit from this. It says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not here. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of all the sons of Isheth." This is prophesying the birth of the Messiah, the Savior, and they were aware of it. So let's think about just the situation for a moment. These Magi were headed toward a Savior that they weren't sure exactly that they would meet, and they spent a number of months getting there. Why is it that they would have wanted to make such an effort to see him? Well, it doesn't say, so we just can only imagine. But it's likely that in their lives, they would have sensed at some point that they were always lacking something. And it wasn't just that they were going to take a long trip. but they also made the effort to have expensive gifts with them. So it's likely that they were people of high position in Babylon in order to be able to do such a thing. However, even though they would have been a high position, they must have realized there had been something that they were missing in their lives. And then when they heard about the birth of the Savior, they would have thought, wow, if we can meet this Messiah, then maybe I'll find this answer to what I'm looking for and have my thirst satisfied. And that's likely why one of the reasons why they went. It's true for us as well in our lives. We all sense at some point that we're just missing something. For many people, they try to fill this missing part of their life with something that they can see. They try to fill it with money or possessions or a relationship with a person of the opposite sex, or also with drugs or other things as well. All those things can provide temporary satisfaction. They cannot completely relieve or satisfy the need that we have in our heart. And actually trying to satisfy that can lead to further distress. Many people, unfortunately, try to keep satisfying their hearts with these wrong things and then end up in despair. There's an American writer by the name of David David Foster, who is a speaker at Kenyon College, and his speech was written a book called "This Is Water." In this text, he addresses the issue of having non-satisfaction in your hearts, and in his speech, he specifically addressed how people try to fill this unsatisfaction in their hearts with something physical that they can see. He was speaking to these graduates who were about ready to go out into the society, and he said that every person wants to worship something, and we just have to choose what it is that we choose to worship. And when we're worshiping something, regardless of what it is, it's going to end up just eating you alive. If you try to worship money or possessions, then you're never going to be satisfied, and you'll never feel that way. If you try to worship, authority or power, or if you feel beauty, then you'll always feel ugly. If you try to worship authority or power, then you're going to try to do something to numb your fear about losing it. He was speaking to the idea of how people are always missing something in their hearts and how they try to satisfy that need with something physical that they can see, but how that never seems to be able to satisfy this need that we have. In this era we're living in, it can be said that many people are missing something out of their hearts. Japan is actually one of the more developed countries in the world, but despite that, around 200,000 Japanese each year take their own life. Many people have a need to satisfy what is in their heart, but they don't know what to do. To address this issue of thirst in our hearts, what is it that we should do? In today's passage, we see how these magi from the east turned their eyes up to this upward and saw the star that led them to the Savior. When we are trying to satisfy the thirst in our hearts, we can need to first get rid of all of the things that we're trying to satisfy it with, and turn our eyes up to God. There is a small fishing boat once, and an incident occurred with this boat. It was actually swept away by a strong tide as it was approaching dusk. The fishermen were all distressed, but in an instant, all of a sudden, it became quite dark, and then they were really stuck. The moon wasn't even out, so it really was a very dark night. The people on the boat became very panicked, and they tried to use their lights to be able to see where it was that they are. However, because it was so dark, they weren't able to figure out their position. At that time, one person said, "Everyone, quick, turn out your lights." And the people thought, "Why would we do that?" But they did exactly what they were told. And so they all turned out their lights. And then it became very dark. However, after a period of time, when their eyes became adjusted to the dark, they were able to see very far in the distance some lights. And then they could tell that those were the lights from the port. And then they were able to know exactly where to go, and they were able to get back to the port without a problem. In order to be able to see the port, first they had to get rid of all of the light that they had with them. In the same way, when we are trying to actually meet the true one who can satisfy the need in our hearts, we need to first let go of all these other forms of light, in a sense, that we have. For example, you have to let go of your status, maybe, or your honor, or your relationship with another person, even. By shutting out all those things and looking up to God, we, just as the Magi did, can finally see our true Savior and find the one who can truly satisfy the need of our hearts. In order to satisfy this need in our heart, we need to first turn our eyes up to the Lord. The second thing we need to do is to turn our eyes toward the gospel. In today's passage, there's something quite interesting. In the Old Testament, it states that in those days that the Israelites would read a certain thing. Why is it that they were able to read the Old Testament that was from far away? One hint to this is in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, it's a story of how Daniel, who lived about 500 years before Jesus, was alive at that time, and a prophet. And when he was taken captive in the area of Babylon, he was able to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the king at that time. And many others at that time were not able to do so. He was the only able who was, because he was able to attain wisdom from God. By doing so, Daniel was very well respected in Babylon, and through him, a lot of people were able to turn toward God. At that time, he would have brought an Old Testament Bible into that area, and then the Magi would have been able to have read it, because it was brought there many years before. The Magi used God's word to be able to know the prophecy about Jesus. In the same way, when we're trying to satisfy the need of our heart, we can refer to the word of God in the Bible. The Bible is not just a book about morals. It's not just a historical record either. It's a book where it explains how God's restoration plan of God and humanity is laid out. In Genesis, it refers to Adam and Eve and how they sinned, and how thereafter all of the people, all the descendants, have passed on this sin nature. I'll explain about this in just kind of like an image of this. In the Shiga Prefecture, there's the largest lake in all of Japan. It's Lake Biwa. And how big is Lake Biwa? Well, it's said that if you put the 7 billion people on Earth in one location, they would all fit within the area of Lake Biwa. So it's quite a big lake. And it's also said the water bottle of Kansai. There, in that area, there's the Osaka people, and there's the people of Shiga, and they often have this various things they say to each other. So Osaka people say, Oh, you're from Shiga. Well, that's just like the countryside. It's only Biwa and there's nothing else there. And then the Shiga people say back, well, if you think that's true, we'll just shut off the water system. And it's actually true, though, because Lake Biwa has a river that comes out of it, and it goes, it's the Seto River, it goes into the Uji River, and then it goes into the Yodo River. So if you shut off the water from the lake, then you'll be actually shutting off the water system for a number of other people as well. So, for example, if there was poison that was put into Lake Biwa, then it would be passed through the different rivers to Seto River, the Uji River, and onto the Yodo River as well into the Osaka Bay. In this way, Adam and Eve sinned, if you remember, and their sin was passed on to all descendants. This is just kind of a picture, an image of how this has happened. It's same for us too. And the Bible says that there's a standard for sin. And it's not just doing something, your actions, but even if having anger or ill thoughts in your heart can be considered as sin. And so when you reflect on what is going on in your heart, you can realize that you too are a sinner. This sin is what creates a problem in our relationship with God. It actually breaks our relationship with God. That's what the Bible teaches. However, God has created a way for us, for this problem to be resolved, and that was to send us a Savior. That was Jesus Christ. Today, we've looked at how to satisfy our thirst in our hearts. The first step was to let go of the things that we are trying to satisfy it with and turn our eyes upward to God. The second step is to turn our eyes toward the gospel and the word of God. And the third point, or the third step, is to accept the salvation of the cross. In other words, today's big theme is to figure out what it is that we need to do to be saved, and what and the answer is to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ. So let's look at this final point, the salvation of the cross. The Magi thereafter followed the star and ended up in Bethlehem. Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. The star is what they were following, and this wasn't just a regular star. If you think about regular stars, they actually move from the east to the west, with the north star in the center. However, this star was moving from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, which was north to south, and it stopped right above the place where Jesus was. So what exactly was this star? It was actually a symbol also of God's presence. In the Old Testament, it states how that God's presence was often expressed in the form of a light or something, for example, to Moses in a flame, or for Moses, the Shekinah glory. In the same way, this star was also likely expressing God's presence. They went into the house, place where Jesus was, and they saw baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph. They worshipped him. In verse 11, it says, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gifts that they gave him were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And each of these are actually symbols of things that would occur or apply to Jesus' life. For example, gold is the most valuable metal. And this would symbolize how Jesus would be a king. Frankincense is something that gives off a very savory scent and would be used as a form of worship, indicating Jesus would be a priest. And the third one, myrrh, was something that was used to bury a dead person, indicating that Jesus would die and be a savior. Of course, at this time, it's possible that the Magi would not have known these things. But you can see through this how God's providence was at work. And the myrrh, indicating Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection and the Savior, is what is the key to satisfying this thirst we have in our hearts. Because of sin, our relationship with God is broken originally, and that becomes an obstacle of restoring that relationship. It's because of that that we have this thirst in our hearts. However, God didn't let that problem just go to the side, but rather sent Jesus Christ to earth at the end of his life. He died on the cross, taking all of our sin upon himself, died and was buried. On the third day, he rose, resolving this problem of sin, so that anyone who believes in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, accepting him as their Savior, can be saved, having all of their sin forgiven, and be able to stand before God as sinless. And this is how our relationship with God is restored. And in that way, we truly can have all this empty part of our hearts satisfied. In France, there was a theologian by the name of Pascal, and he said that that there is a hole in our hearts, that it can only be satisfied with God, our Creator. Jesus has restored this problem in the relationship with God. I'd like to close today with a testimony of someone. In Canada, there is a famous singer by the name of Justin Bieber. When he was in his teens, he became very famous and attained a lot of money. However, his life fell apart, and around when he was 20 or so, there was all kinds of issues that he became involved in, unfortunately, and was light in the media because of that. However, he came to faith in Christ, and after that, his life gradually became to fall back in place. In September 2019, he wrote on SNS, social media, a statement looking back on his life. He said that when he was 13, he was very successful in just a short period of 2 years with his musical talent. His life changed 180 degrees because of that, because he had millions of fans all of a sudden and a lot of money, and he was able to attain just anything he wanted. However, around in his 20s, he made poor decisions, and because of that, he was laughed at, criticized, and disliked by people around the world. And at age 19, he actually got into illegal drugs, and a lot of his relationships with other people fell apart. He thought that was just the end. He did, though, realize that he had this thirst in his heart. He tried to fill it first with illegal drugs and money and so on, and realized that it only left him with broken relationships and even a stronger desire for that satisfaction to be filled. However, he did come across the one, Jesus Christ, who could satisfy that desire. He continued on by saying that over a long time, he has made an effort to fix all of the problems he had and deal with various issues he had created. He was able to thank God for the various people God had placed in his life to assist him. And he wanted to tell everyone that regardless of situation you're placed in, you can always have hope in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ does love you. Today, too, he makes an effort to spread the gospel and to show Jesus' love. After he was baptized, he made an album called Changed, and he sang that he is changing himself. And even though people around him or environment changes, God never changes. He met Jesus Christ And as his life has come back into place through meeting Jesus, then he has realized just how great God is. And we too can pray for the lost in the same way. Regardless of the person, every person has this thirst in their heart, and the only one who can satisfy it is Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 4:14, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." To receive the truth of salvation from the cross and have a really renewed relationship with God is what allows our hearts to truly be satisfied. From today's passage, we can have that hope. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. Today we've looked at the story of the Magi coming from the East and how to satisfy our thirst in Jesus Christ. We know that even though they may have likely been very successful, they've spent a long time going through the desert to satisfy their thirst in their hearts. People today too have the same need and try to fill this lacking sense in their hearts with various physical things. However, the only thing that can truly satisfy us is something where we first need to discover by turning our eyes up to you, God, as the Magi did. Next, we need to remember to turn our eyes to the Word of God and to your Word, Jesus, to come to know the plans of salvation. We know that Jesus has resolved the problem of sin, which is what is separating us from God, and has our relationship with God broken. By believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can have our need of our heart satisfied and have hope as well. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to walk with you in our lives. We ask, Lord, that many people who don't know who it is that can satisfy their need in their heart can come to know this. Allow us to be people who can testify this and lead people to you through the gospel truth. Allow us, Lord, to be used for your purposes. We thank you for this opportunity, praying in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this coming week and forevermore. Amen.